done, we will take the prayer request.
All right, amen. Is it working? Can you hear me okay? Yeah, all right, good. I just don't want it to be too loud. Like Pastor, I look forward to Youth Week, Teen Week. For 2 weeks before that and about a week after that, man, I tell you, I go through it. I mean, we're going through it, man. And it's a hard thing, but you know, when it's all said and done, we're better off when it's all over with. So I can't say I'm happy that it's happening to us or I'm excited, because it's hard. But at the end, we can say, you know what, we can lift our hands and say, thank God that he strove with us and he helped us get through it. You know, day by day, sometimes it goes minute by minute. And thank God, I'm not talking about finances. I'm talking just spiritually and mentally. A lot going on in the Morey household now. But, you know, by God's grace, we'll get through it. And while I'm talking, could you just turn to Exodus chapter 32? And I was sitting down writing the paper, you know, for college and getting some stuff done there. I got the phone call from Pastor and said, can you have a message? I said, yeah, I'll have a message. And at that time, I had no clue what to preach. And I just started praying, all right, Lord, this is it. You know, now's the time. Just be ready to preach in and out of season. Let's do it. And I believe the Lord gave me this message. And it's something we all need to work on here. Excuse my voice. Strange gods and idols are ushered in when we do not wait on God. Strange gods and idols are ushered in when we do not wait on God. Not waiting on God leads us to making our own gods and idols. One must remember that earthly things cannot be made into godly things to take the place of God. And we get into that habit when God's not answering our prayers right away. We like to cling to something else for that comfort. We like to make something else to take his place. Well, you know, Lord, I've been praying for this decision, but you know what? I can't wait anymore. I'm going to make the decision on my own. And we try to turn that thing into something that he never desired for us to have. And he said, and I said here, he said, earthly things cannot be made into godly things to take the place of God. We as humans try to take and make earthly things and put them in the place of God. An idol can be an object of excessive attachment, such as works or religion or anything that takes the place, including a person, a habit, or a job. Charles Spurgeon said, idolatry is the greatest insult the creature can offer the Creator. Nothing could be worse than putting something or someone in God's place. And this begins to happen when we do not wait on the Lord. This begins to happen when we start being self-reliant. There's a lot of dry periods where we, you know, cry out to God, and it seems like that he's turned his ear from us, and he's just not hearing us. And it's like our prayers are hitting the brass ceiling, and God's not doing anything. It's at that time that we're to wait on the Lord. He says, just wait. And we get impatient and we want to start turning to other things. Maybe comfort from somebody else. Maybe comfort from something in the flesh. Maybe comfort from something of this world. Or we start clinging on to old habits or old ways. And we start putting those things that God has taught us this whole time, and we start putting them in back. And that becomes an idol in our heart. It starts taking the place where God has brought us from. And we start going back to that. And that actually starts taken captive of our heart. We're taken captive by our own hearts. God says, okay, you didn't want to wait on me. You made that decision. That's what you wanted. Here you go, have it. And I'm just telling you now, when God gives you something that you've been asking for, it's not always a good thing. There are many times that I can remember praying to the Lord, please, I need this, Lord. I got to have this. And it just wasn't answered. And all, you know, I would get it. And I'd be like, gosh, I wish I never had it now. And now I got to fight to get out of that.
Amen.
Okay? And so just be careful. Wait on God. You can make things an idol. Anyway, so I'm going to read Exodus 32, verses 1 through 8. And we're going to start off. It says, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, and of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool. And after he had made it molten calf, and they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is the feast to the Lord. And they rose up early in the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Verse 7, and the Lord said unto Moses, Go get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto. And said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. I could just stop right there, and you all know. You all get it right then and there. The Lord's already shown something in your heart. Already shown something in your heart that's become an idol in your life because you're not waiting on the Lord. Jim, hey Jim, could you pray for us real quick? Amen. And we go here. Do you see here that the Lord said to wait? Moses is going up there. He's going to get the commandments. The people were instructed to wait. And they became so bitter. They hounded the man of God so much that even the man of God fell for it. Even the man of God got himself in trouble. He said, okay, break off the earrings then. I'll make you something. He didn't even remind them about what Moses bringing them up out of the land of Egypt. They said, listen, these gods here, these are the ones that brought us up out. They totally just forgot about Moses. What became of him? Let's just forget about him. Let's get something that we can put our hands on now. Right now. And, you know, that's called a microwave religion. It's got to be instant. God's not always instant. God's not always instant for a couple of things. Remember, we're on God's time. God is not on our time. We keep thinking that God has to be on our time frame, and it is not our time frame.
Nah.
We get ourselves into this microwave religion where God, I'm praying to you, you have to answer me now. And then when he does answer, and if it's not pleasing to you, no, that was the wrong answer. This is the answer I really want. And this is what they did. Even so much that they complained and got bitter towards the man of God, so much that he fell for this. Here's Aaron, of all people, falling for it. He was there in Egypt. He watched as God moved in Pharaoh's heart and the things that he'd done and the plagues and so forth. And here he is. He just says, hey, bring me all the gold. Break them off on your wives and your sons and your daughters. Break them off and we're going to make a calf for you. Verse 32, verse 35, it says, and the Lord plagued the people. Why? Because they made the calf which Aaron made. Here's the man of God making a calf for these guys. Here he is, he fell for the very thing. And you know what? That's a picture of what's going on in today's Christianity. There's so much pressure coming from the congregations. There's so much pressure coming on from people that the man of God is giving up who God really is and what the Word of God has to say. Why? Because he wants to please the people. He's not waiting on the answer from God. They're just moving on their own. The Spirit of God comes in. And he's moving amongst in the pews. He's moving in the pews, and the people are ignoring it. And you know what? They get the man of God to see that. And you know what? He ignores it as well. He says, no, let's go this way. Why? Because of the pressure of the congregation. Because of what people are doing. And they're forgetting. Here he makes mention. He says, well, how are you going to forget what I've done? God says it here in verse 7 and 8. And he says, and the Lord said unto Moses, get thee down, for thy people which thou hast brought us out of Egypt, they have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. Quickly. Why? Because they weren't waiting on God. They became impatient. God commanded them to do something. They gave it a little bit of time. Said, okay, that's enough. And we're going to do it ourselves. And I'm just telling you now, you'll do that in your heart. You'll do that with yourself. God has answered me. It's been 3 days. Okay, I've got to go out there and do something on my own. And we make a bigger mess of our lives than if we would just wait it. Just waited. And now we see this happens to the congregation. This wasn't just one person. This is the whole, this is all of Israel doing this. And they're rising up against the man of God. And they got him tricked and fooled. He doesn't know what to do. He didn't even say, God, is this something that I should be doing? No, he just instantly went to please the people. You know who else done that? Lot. Lot was another one. Abraham was out to please God. Lot was out to please people. Go read it in Genesis 19. When those guys come knocking at the door. Instead of saying, no, you can't have these men. You have to just leave. He says, no, you can have my daughters. Gave up his own children. Because he couldn't say, Lord, I need your protection right now. Would you give me that? Who's standing in this house? And then when God rescues him, he takes his time leaving. Then when he goes to warn his family, nobody listens to his family. They mock him. Why? Because he's always a people pleaser. Always made decisions to become self-reliant. Always, when Abraham says, choose where you want, he looks and sees all the war. He sees the best of the land. He didn't listen to the instructions of God. He didn't ask God, should I go here, Lord? Is this where you want me to go? Is it? No, he was looking for the pride of life. He was seeing through the eyes of flesh, and that's what he chose that for, the best for himself. He wasn't worried about what happened to Abraham. And that's what happens when we don't wait on the Lord. He says, wait. This is what people of Christianity have become today. The complaints, the unbelief, the threatening of the pastors' jobs and salaries has caused many men of God to turn themselves to please the people and what people want. They want a God today who will conform to them and their lives. And that, my friends, will only come from earthly gods and idols and earthly things, not the God of Israel. God will not conform to your image. God is not going to conform to your ways. God is not going to conform to your time. It's going to be His. Isaiah makes that clear. God says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Could you imagine if we served a God who thought the same way we did? What a horrible life. This is why people can't take what the Bible says and what it tells them to do. This is why they have to go to the other perverted versions and those other churches, because they're trying to conform a God to do what they want. God says, no, you're going to be conformed into the image of His Son. Right here. We see Aaron falls into that mess. Genesis 35, verses 2 and 4. Go ahead and turn with me to Genesis 35. Genesis 35. Now, keep liberty behind bars, in your prayers as well. Yesterday, we just sent out 7 contact packs that Pastor Haynes had helped us get together to of the jails and prisons. We sent 7 of them out yesterday, to Gowanda, to where else are we? Livingston, and then a bunch of county jails, Cattaraugus, all that. There were 7 of them total. So just be in prayer. The Lord opened a door. I can't say names, but be in prayer, because the jail that I go to now, they're trying to work with the program, the director, to hopefully give me my own day in there. Well, I don't have to worry about other churches. They can have their time. I'll have my time. And so just be in prayer on that. Just pray on that. Anyway, Genesis 35, verses 2 through 4 says, then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in which way I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings. All their earrings which were in their ear. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was in Shechem. Notice the earthly gold earrings. They had to give them up to come to the Lord. Because as you've seen in Exodus, they would make these things into gods and idols. And God wanted them all out of their life so they would not be tempted to turn back to Him. There are things in your life that God wants out of your life.
Yep.
He needs you to start getting rid of some things out of your life when you come to Him, because He does not want you to turn back to Him. And let me tell you, when God brings you to this point that I'm going to tell you about, this is not an easy thing. There are certain things in your life, there's things in my life that God has put me through that was so horrible that it would take an absolute, I couldn't even tell you what it would take to get me to go back to those type of things. But you know what? He made me do that. I had to go through that so that I had such a great hatred towards that thing in my life that I would not lightly go back to that.
Amen.
This is why he asked for the earrings. Why? Because they were so quick to turn back to those idols. They were so quick to worship something that they could touch and see and feel. But you know what? Them gods couldn't see. Them gods couldn't hear. Them gods couldn't talk. And that's what they wanted. They forsook the one who could, because, again, they want everything on their time. When God says, no, you need to wait. Why does God make us wait? Because He knows better than we know. If we knew better than God, then why did Jesus Christ have to die? Why did we have to take Him as Savior if we could run our own life? This is what confuses me about a lot of Christians. You mean to tell me that you know how to run your own life without God? Then what'd you need Jesus Christ for? You need Jesus Christ because it's obvious you don't know how to run your own life. And when you become saved, that doesn't mean you're on autopilot and you can just sit there and do whatever you want to do. No, that doesn't happen that way. The Bible says that your body no longer belongs to you. It belongs to God. Romans 12:1, a living sacrifice. That's what he tells us to be. A living sacrifice. Go back and read the sacrifices in Leviticus. They were dead sacrifices, okay? They gave themselves. That's it. They gave themselves. That's what we are supposed to be living. Living sacrifices. Unto who? Ourselves? No, unto God. But again, when we do not wait on the Lord, when we take it upon ourselves and become self-reliant and self-sufficient, guess where you're going to find yourself? Flat on your face. How did I get here, Lord? That's what you wanted. That's what he's going to tell you back. That's what you wanted. God does the same with Christians. He has to remove things out of our lives that will tempt us to turn from him and back to them. As the children of Israel that turn their back for, they turn back to God for a short time, and then they're back to their old ways again, and the process starts over again. You get yourself caught up in that, you'll see. You'll start getting idols in your heart. God's not doing what you want, you want him to. You'll turn back to the idols. God will come in, give you repentance. Then a short time, you're okay for a short time. And then guess what? Just like Israel, you turn your back on God again. Because again, it's on his time. Again, he has answered the prayer the way you want it. Again, he hasn't moved in your life like you thought he was going to move. Honestly, to tell you the truth, I didn't think God would give me a ministry in the jails. I just didn't. I've been there in jails and prisons a lot. I really thought it was going to be young people and teens. Not saying that that's not still going to be, but I'm just saying, God opened the door for me in the ministry. Listen, you guys don't even, I know how it is. When you stand up here and you watch Brother Bob DeWitt and our pastor, and he talks about having his people and so on, and they have a heart, that's how I feel about those guys and girls in prison. I understand that fully now. You ask my wife when I come home, I'm in tears because I wish there was more that I could do for them. I wish that I could help them more. I wish I could spend more time with them because I have a heart for them people, and I love them. And I thank God that he's given me that. But you see, I didn't think anything like that. Guess whose time that was on? That was on God's time. I asked my wife how many thoughts of ministries I've had for other things. And they've fallen apart and fallen apart and fallen apart. Why? Because God wasn't ready for me to be there yet. God wasn't ready for me to be there yet. God's timing. He opened the door and it's been go since. And I thank God, but you know, you got to wait on God. We have to wait for Him. Otherwise, we start getting our hearts all messed up. We start trying to get other things in our hearts. We start bringing all this worldly stuff in, these little gods and these little idols into our life. And that could be a person. You ever get fall into the trap where you start trusting people more than God? I know a lot of people, and I'm not saying this to offend anybody, but people in America, they've come to trust the government more than they do God.
That's right.
We all need help. I need help. But it's become such a crisis here in America where nobody trusts God anymore. Why? Because America says here. God has been taken out of so much of our lives. It's just in a few short years that I've been saved, I just can't believe year after year and after year after year how much more and more I see God being taken out and kicked out and not wanted to, not even His name. Here's the thing, you know, when things start going bad, everybody starts saying, well, I asked God this and I screamed out to God for that, or why did God let this happen, or why did God do that? Well, no other times do they think about Him, unless it's Christmas time, of course. Christmas and Easter, that's when they start thinking about God. I'm sorry, but Jesus Christ is more than a Christmas story. He's more than an Easter story. He's the Savior of the world. He's the Savior. He died. Amen. He loved everybody. He says that it's not His will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Nobody wants repentance. Tough things. I told the guys last week when I was in jail. I said, guys, I'm going to talk to you as men, because that's what you are. You're men, okay? I said, you act effeminate. They all looked at me and I explained to them, and you know what? They shook their head. They understood that. And I said, but I'm going to talk to you like men. I said, that's how my pastor talked to me. He talked to me like a man. I said, guess what? It made me realize some things. And I said, I'm going to talk to you like men because I want you to realize some things. It's time to stop being effeminate. So you can look all tough and have your tattoos and everything else. I said, but then you have these emotions that you have no control over. I said, I'm going to talk to you like men. I said, I won't ever come in here. I will never treat you any different. I said, I'll always come in being the same. I'm going to talk to you, tell you the truth. If you don't like it, that's fine. I said, you go up there and close your cell door, cry about it, get over it, come back next week. Okay? But honestly, you can talk to those guys like that, and they love it. They need somebody to talk to them like that. They do. Believe me, that what they hear on a daily basis is a whole lot worse than I can say to them. And they love me, and I love them. I have a love for them people. And they have a love for me. They look forward to me every week. And anyway, but I said, I want you guys got to start facing who you are. You got to, those things that God, when you're reading that Bible, and most of them are getting King James Bibles in their hand. The lady that I've been working with, the sergeant over there, she's been trying to put King James Bibles in there for us. Anyway, still working on the other ones. But anyway, I said, when you're reading it, God gets in there to convict your heart. I said, don't run from that. I said, I understand it's very painful. Probably the most painful things you'll go through, but you need to face that thing. Face it down. I said, you'll face some gang member with a gun, or you'll face the dope man, or you'll face a judge. But when God starts showing you things about yourself, you can't face that. I said, you need to face it. You got to stand on, get on the word of God, get on your knees and start praying and face that thing. I don't know where I got off on that, but that's where I did. God has to, as the children of Israel, they turn back to God for a short time, then they turn back their old ways again. And the process starts over again. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians. Excuse me. 5, starting in verse 16. Says, wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth we know Him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know that R in there, the A-R-E, that's talking about present tense. It's talking about now. Old things in my life, old things in your life are getting out. New things are coming in. That's a process that happens after salvation, where God just starts taking the things of the old nature and starts removing them and starts putting those things that He wants. You go and read, there's many times, at least three of them that I know in the Gospels, where Jesus Christ touches somebody's life and His virtue goes into them.
That's right. Yeah.
So that's what happens to a person at salvation. You start getting that virtue of Jesus Christ. And you know what? You got to make that happen. You got to start using that. You got to start relying on that and getting rid of yourself. Anyway, he's a new creation. Those things are new. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. This is why God has to remove things out of our life. He's reconciling us to Him. Okay? We can't reconcile God to ourselves. We are so wanting to always be self-sufficient, always wanting to do things on our own, always wanting to try to form God to fit what we want into our mindsets and to what we think is right and so on and so forth. And you know what? You got to get into the groove where you start. And, you know, I go through this a lot because for many years I had a trust issue. Okay? So there's been many times since I got saved I've had a trust issue with God. God, I know He's wanting me to trust Him. I know He's put me in a situation to. I can't say yes that I did it perfectly because I didn't. Groaning, mumbling, you know, trying to do. You know what happened? I would step in and I would go to somebody else. I would go to a human being, get what I think was going to fix the problem, only to make it worse. Because now that person looked at me and go, oh, you think you really have faith in Jesus, huh? I'm telling everybody, I trust Jesus Christ and this and that. And then they guess what? When I ask them for help, they go, oh, you really trust that Jesus, huh?
Yeah.
And I go, Amy, my goodness. Believe what we just done? Because I couldn't wait on God? Show me where in the Bible God said He's going to meet all your needs. Never said that. There's times that He will help with paying bills and so on and so forth. But you know what? There's other times He don't. There's other times. You know what He's more concerned about? Our spiritual need. Us trusting Him. Learning how to trust Him. Because time and time again, when He puts that flame underneath us, guess what? We're going to go to ourselves. We're going to go try to be self-reliant, self-sufficient. And we're not going to wait on God. Guess what that does? It's going to build idols in our hearts. I got about 5 minutes. What does God feel about those who are trying to serve Him and other gods too? There are people, Christians, who try to serve the Lord and their idols. Let me tell you what God, Joshua 24. Joshua 24, verses 19 through 21. Joshua 24, and I'm going to try to make this pretty quick. I want to make this point though. Joshua 24, verses 19 through 21. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God, He is a jealous God, He will not forgive your trespasses, transgressions, nor your sins, if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods. Then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He hath done you good. You're not going to try to serve God and keep your idols. He's a jealous God. He wants all your love to Himself. And then it says that if you try to do that, guess what? He's going to bring hurt unto you. I'm sorry, but it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. God can bring hurt. You know what? If you're a Christian and you're living totally by the flesh, then the Bible says you should die by the flesh. But you know what? God is very long-suffering, and what He wants to do is He wants you to see and repent before He has to get you to that point. He's just not going to say, you know what? I'm just done with it. That's it. She's done. I'm done. He really strives with the person. He really tries to wake them up to what's going on. He really wants them to see that. But I'm just telling you now, you cannot keep going on and on and on trying to serve God and having idols and gods in your heart. God is not having that. He says he wants those removed because he's a jealous God. He wants to love fully. He wants it for himself. He doesn't want you to love. You know what he even says? Our families are to come second place to him. That was very hard for me to get a hold of. Because I love Amy and my children. I love them to death. But you know what? God wasn't telling me that to be mean. He was telling me to put him first so they get the benefits of me serving God like that. They get the benefits of that. And I'm just telling you, if you want to love your children and you want to love your family, put God first, because then guess what? They're going to get the benefits of it. My family does better off when I'm serving God the way I'm supposed to. They get the benefits of me putting him first. When I start putting them first, everything falls apart. I'm just telling you how it works. Why is that being mean? No, it's a protection that he puts in people's lives. It's what he wants. Remember, he's God. You'll all raise your hand in here and say, if I say, okay, guys, I want to know, how many of you guys think God is all powerful? Everybody's hands will go up. Then why don't you trust him that way? Oh, yes, this is the King James Bible. I love it and I believe it. Then why don't you live it that way? Well, this is what we say. These are the things that we carry around in our heart, and we say these all over and over again. I mean, so much so, we'll let the whole world know it. But guess what? When that thing comes, we don't wait on God. Because we don't trust his word.
Right.
We don't trust him. Idols, your old ways are so easy. Remember what he said in Exodus? They quickly. Every single time that Israel thought God failed them, what's the first thing they want to do? Go back to Egypt. Guess what? We do the same thing. When God is answering our prayer or doing something to us immediately on our time, guess what we want to do? We want to run back to Egypt. We want to think that we're going to be protected by the government and be protected by going back to our old ways. There is no protection in that. It's destruction. Destruction, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understandings. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. You all know it by heart, but how many of us can live it on a daily basis? When you're having gods and idols in your heart, you will not do it. God, please remove this thing from me. Hang on, Lord. Please, don't take it, I'm tired of it. No, hang on. No, I'm tired of it. God's just going to say, you know what? You're really going to get tired of it. He knows your heart. He knows when you're going to be tired of it. And you know what? When you're tired of it and God knows your heart, guess what? He'll take that thing from you. He'll deliver you. I'm done. That was my cue.